So much nicer to see the sun out and the warm, and even 27 felt pretty good with the sun out. So about a 30 degree difference. Get another 30 degrees in there this week. It'll be great. But sometimes we wake up, look out the door and look out the window and try to decide if it's going to be a good day or a bad day. But if you're with the Lord, they're all good. But we do have some bad days. We have some stressful days. Turn on the TV, especially, and see some of the weather warnings out. You know, it's ice or snow, and you got to go someplace. So kind of turns up the stress level a little bit. Or the kids don't have school. I don't know if that's a stress level. If they don't have school, they do. But seems like more nowadays is when they don't have school, the stress level goes up. But we've all got places to be, you know, people to see, you know, time's limited. We try to cram it all in, and I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and it takes a toll both mentally and physically when we stress ourselves like that. You know, a lot of the stress comes at holidays. You know, you think holidays are supposed to be fun and enjoy them and spend time with family and spend time together, and yet we stress out over, well, what are we going to eat? You know, I got to get that. I got to go to the store. I got to clean the house. I got to get this. I got to get that. And we worry about getting it together. It takes away some of the joy from actually being together. But stress is when everyday demands outweigh our ability to meet them. So now we have to determine what our stress, what our demands really are, and how we're going to meet them. But, you know, life can be hard. It's hard for everybody. Things come up. And not just for adults. You know, it's for kids, too, these days. I know a lot of kids, you know, high school, junior high, kids are stressed out these days as well. And, you know, at work, things get stressful. You got this to do and that to do and this to put together and these people to try to get. And, you know, of course, work comes up with all kinds of sayings, and Mike probably or Ralph remembers more than I do. You know, the big one we use is they can't eat you. Yeah, so always remember how bad it gets. They can't eat you. So we use that one a lot. And then when you was worried about or stressed out because you had all this and you knew you was going to put it on other people, the famous saying was, don't worry about the mule, just load the wagon. So, but stress causes those things. Stress causes us to worry about things. Sometimes it seems like we enjoy it because we kind of make it up before anything actually happens. You know, we anticipate it. And we start stressing before it's necessary to start stressing or even need to bother with stressing at all, because we make it up and pre-stress because the actual stress is calling us, you know. And most time we don't need to do either one. You know, we worry about things that don't come to fruition. We stress about things. You know, we all get caught up. You know, we want to pull our hair out. Our stomach all gets tied up in a knot. We don't sleep well. And we try to figure out a way to get out of whatever's causing it. Well, Isaiah, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40 today. Isaiah 40, 21 through 31. And Isaiah, Israel was told, okay, you're going to go into exile. You're going to be taken to Babylon as slaves. You're all leaving. Your home is changing. You're going to be slaves in Babylon, which was the enemy. Now, that's a bad day when you wake up and told you're leaving. You're going to be slaves. But that looks like something to be stressed about. But we see what Isaiah said to them after he had told them this. We're going to read, again, Isaiah 40, 21 through 31. He says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, No sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each one of them by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not go weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, he says bad things are going to happen. You know, there's going to be stress coming. Things that can cause stress. But he says you can't avoid it. But he does say you can overcome it. You can't avoid it, but you can overcome it. You know, we can either panic or we can pray. We can either try to do it ourselves or we can let God be involved in it. Sometimes we think, you know, God's not around. He's forgotten us. You know, we're in stress. We're in that panic mode. Because it doesn't feel like he's close to us. But he's everywhere. You can't run away from God. Because you run away, you're going to run right into him again. He's everywhere. He's all around us. I think sometimes we do need to take a look and see if all those things we have to do really need to be done. Sometimes we put it on ourselves, at least in the time we give to it. You know, do we need to do everything for everyone? Sometimes it's hard to say no. Sometimes we schedule ourselves too much. We don't give ourselves time. We put too much on our plate sometimes. We create our own stress when there's plenty of outside circumstances and situations and pain and panic and heartache that causes stress on their own. Some stress is self-inflicted when we try to do too much. Isaiah reminds us to look at it from God's perspective. You know, he says, don't you know who God is? Haven't you heard what he can do? You know, he's in control of everything. You know, God's greater than all of our problems. When things get you down, he says, lift your eyes up. When things get you down, lift up your eyes. See the God who created all things, including you. Know that he knows your name. Know that he loves you. The most powerful God knows you. There's no one like him. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows what's coming. But instead of allowing stress to rule us, we need to slow down a little bit. We need to wait on the Lord sometimes. Wait doesn't mean to quit. You know, wait doesn't mean to sit down. Wait doesn't mean just to stand there. And if you go to a restaurant, they're called waiters and waitresses. They don't just sit and wait for you to get finished and do whatever you want to do. A waiter is always serving. A waiter is serving. We got to keep active and focus on serving through it all. You know, God's still there. He's not away from us. You know, and we aren't going to understand all the things and all the whys of the happenings that's causing stress to us. You know, things happen. We're not going to understand the whys. But God does. God understands them. God understands so much more than we can comprehend. That's why he's God. You know, thankfully we have a God that's far greater than we are. You know, if we had a God that we could understand everything about, he wouldn't be that big. We need one that understands everything infinitely more than we do. Now, he's willing to share with us as he sanctifies us, as we get closer to him, we start to understand those things and control those things that stress us out, because we share them with him. You know, it's just not on us. We can go to him with anything. It says, don't you know he never gets tired or weary? You know, he's always there. It says, but increases the power of the weak. You know, he gives us strength. He says he renews our strength. You know, in Hebrew, the word renews is chaleth, which means exchange. He wants us to trade. You know, let him use us and give us his strength in exchange for our weakness, our stress. That sounds like a pretty good deal. He's there to exchange his strength for our weakness, if we allow it. But we've got to give it to him. You know, if we hang on to it, then we get to keep it. You know, he wants to trade us, but it's got to be a swap. We've got to get rid of those things that's dragging us down, that's stressing us out, that even some things, the things we don't understand, and let him grab a hold of them and strengthen us and increase our knowledge and increase our, that the Spirit will talk to us and teach us and grow us and explain a lot of that to us. That's a good deal, good exchange. We trade with him. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. We're talking about Paul. Paul had a thorn in the side. You know, he had problems he faced. He went through a lot of stuff, you know, what Paul went through. But he had one thing that wouldn't go away. He had a thorn in the side. And you debate whatever that was. There's lots of suggestions. But basically he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. And it's hard to embrace the difficulties. It's hard to say, I'm glad this is happening. Can't be happy about it, but God's working them through us. There's a purpose for those, you know. And we're knowing that God gives us grace. He says that's sufficient, that we have his grace, that we can go to him and he will show us what these are. You know, he's allowing us to show his power within us. That's grace as well. You know, he will help us. He will help us, empower us to do more than we thought we could do, and will show it to others, his power in us. You know, we have his strength in our weakness. You know, it says, then we are made strong and show his powers to others. You know, that's very true. How many times have people been down and faced things that show God to other people? You know, I think of Seth, you know, how he's been sick practically his whole life. But it's never been about him. He's always been about helping others. He's always been about praying for others. He's always been about doing things that, you know, that will make money and draw people in for others to help support others. You know, as bad as he feels sometimes, and he's been, again, as and we talk, he's on our prayer list too, been in a lot of pain lately that they've been struggling to keep under control. But yet even at that, he was at a function helping somebody else. So in our weakness, God is made strong. That's a sign. You know, I've talked many times about death that happens, about couples we know you losing kids and the strength they've showed. And, you know, at the funeral and everything, and what a difference that it made. That people want to know how. How do you do it? And they have an answer that they share. Not that they're not stressed. Not that they're not under a lot of pressure. But they have an answer. Because they've exchanged their weakness for God's strength. People in sicknesses, again, Seth is one, but everyone in sickness and how they treat it and how they go about it. You know, they can wake up and still say it's a good day. It's a good day. You know, how we handle life is such a powerful witness to those around us, and how we handle the things that stress and the problems and the things that get us down is a powerful witness to those around us. They see how we react. They want to know how. It impacts more people than you know. More people than you know just by your choices and your reactions and how you follow up. They can see God working in you. And they, again, it'll draw them in. That's what God's using you for. There's a purpose in the pain. He draws you in and He can use that. I'm going to have an invitation in just a minute. The last section of that talks about, of the previous section, says, we will soar like wings on eagles. I did read that eagles are the only bird that flies into storms instead of away from them. But they use the updraft from the storm coming in to fly faster and farther and longer. So they use the storm to get better. The storm makes them more powerful. The storm increases them. They've been measured 55 miles an hour is the average speed. In storms, they've been measured at 110. So they've doubled what they can do in a storm. They've gained that strength from the storm. And we can too. Storms can make people bitter. But storms can make God's children better. You know, we learn more about God's grace. We learn more about God's goodness. And we learn more about God's power through the storms than we do in the sunny sky days. You know, His strength allows us to run and not grow weary, to grab opportunities that we may normally miss. And we can walk and not grow faint, that we have the stamina to keep going through it all. He'll help us through it. I don't know how many times, you know, I've been stressed out. I've been there. You know, you think, this is going to happen tomorrow. I know it's going to happen tomorrow. Lord, I need help because this is going to be bad. And I don't know if you've all done that, but then you wake up in the morning and things just seem different. Your perspective's a little different. It doesn't turn out near as bad as what you thought it was. It may be even better. But you got to turn it over to Him. You got to exchange it. Isaiah 41:10. I'm going to close with that. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And again, it goes back to, do you know God? Do you know how powerful He is? Do you know He's there all around? You know, that was the questions that Isaiah asked. Do you know? Do you not know? Have you not heard? You know, we forget those things, that God's that powerful. And He's right there. And there's no better place to be than in God's hands. In God's righteous right hand. Let's pray.